Today on Real Radio.
Peter was walking on the water. Walking on water. And he was able to stay afloat as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're in a series within a series taken from the first 11 verses of chapter 2. Here we find Paul addressing some personal issues among fellow believers. He also writes of something that's not really popular these days, church discipline and restoration of the repentant. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in his series called, quite simply, Say You're Sorry.
In a God-fearing world, what we say ought to match up with how we live. Amen. Right? Yep. By the way, to break that is the definition of hypocrisy. To say one thing, but to do the other. By their fruits you will know them. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Word, obedience. Obey. Listen, many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders or miracles in your name? Can you say that about yourself? Can I say that about me? There are going to be people who have miraculous powers assigned to their life somehow. And Jesus said, verse 23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So that right now ought to cause you to throw yourself down at the foot of the cross. Because you're not saved and going to heaven by what you do in works. Those things should flow out of a saved life. You're saved in heaven by whom you know. In fact, any good job that you get, it's not what you know. A lot of people are smarter than you and I. Let's be honest. Have you ever gotten a really amazing job? I got an amazing job one time. It was an amazing job. And everybody, I'm not joking, God's my witness, every applicant was more qualified than me. Every applicant had greater education. They had experience. Every one of them. And I saw that. I even told the manager who was interviewing me, I said, look at this. I'm not kidding. I said this. In fact, you know what? The guy wound up getting saved 13 years later. It took 13 years for that to sink into that man's head. But here's what happened. I said, it is overwhelmingly evident to me that these people are more qualified than I am. You're looking for a good person to take this position? That it must be, sir, the fact that I'm a Christian. And God must have opened the door for me to sit with you for these 3 hours in this interview for this one reason. Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the grave. There's no sin that you can commit that's too great for him to forgive. God wants you to trust him and put your heart, your faith in him, and he will save you. You can't get to heaven without him. Jesus died there to take the debt that you and I could never pay, and he rose again from the grave to set us free by his power. And I want to thank you for all of this time that you took today, sir. And I shook his hand, and I stood up, and he said, sit down. He did. He may be listening to this message right now. I'm dead serious. And he hired me. For 13 years, I got to be a Christian in that corporation, Baxter Healthcare. Some of you, you don't know about it unless you're critically ill in a hospital. Then you'll see Baxter stuff all over your body. And after this church had gotten started, and years later, my phone rang, and he said, Jack, this is Mark. I'm going to church now. I gave my heart to Christ. 13 years. It took 13 years for him to accept Christ. But I got to tell you something right now. Listen, here's the point. I got that job not based upon what I knew, because I didn't know. I got that job based upon who I know. I know Jesus. He got me the job. Listen, do you know him today? It's not your theological knowledge. Do you know Christ? Are you born again? Do you know it? The next thing is this, unity. Look at verse 10. The next thing is unity. God's evidence for salvation. Is it really true among us if we're Christians? What's the evidence? Unity. He says in verse 10, now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one, that person, so should we, everyone, for your sakes, the church. And here's the key. In the presence of Christ. You got to love this precious apostle. You know what he's saying? This should be normal. You guys, this should be normal thinking for all of us. When I go to sleep, I go to sleep in the presence of Christ. When I wake up in the presence of Christ. All night long, whatever I do, while I'm sleeping, at my age, every trip to the bathroom, I'm in the presence of Christ. When you drive on the freeway, you're in the presence of Christ. David said, whither shall I flee from my spirit, or where can I go from your presence? If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I make my and take the wings to the uttermost parts of the sea, behold, thou art there. He's everywhere. That's why I don't have much faith in atheists. I love them, but I don't have much faith in them. By the way, I've been a Christian for 35 years. I'm still waiting for a real good argument or answer as to why an atheist does not believe in God. I've not heard it yet. Now, some of you atheists are going, oh, that's it. I'm going to sharpen up my argument. And I guarantee you, bring it on, because every time you go right off of your introduction into something personal. And I don't believe in God because my mom was mean to me. I don't believe in God because there's this or because there's that. And don't cite scientific evidence, because my God is the God of science. So you can't go there, because if you go there, you'll get saved. Every blade of grass out there or oranges hanging on those trees is screaming the engineered design of God, the wisdom of God. So you can't go there. It's personal. Why? Because you are a spirit being. God has made you. And God wants you to be forgiven. You live in the presence of Christ, even if you don't believe in him. That's why you're having such a rough time. You're going against God's grain, as it were. The Bible says in Psalm 133, verse 1, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, let me tell you something. Listen, are you guys listening? Yes. We live in a dangerous time. And in a lot of spiritual arenas, people have exalted this word unity, or to be unified, let's unite, and it's dangerous. So aren't you undermining your own message? Not at all. Evidence of salvation in a church or in a Christian's life will be unity. But it's a biblical defined unity. For example, I am not in this community known to be a unifying person among the clergy. It's true. Why? Because I will not gather for the ecumenical gathering of the Baha'i and Muslims and Christians and throw over what else in there, that we might have a prayer meeting and come together and what's there to, who are we going to pray to? They're all different gods. Who are we going to pray to? Oh, that's not you. You're very divisive. I can't unite on any of this. Who are we going to talk to? Now, the truth is, I could show up. In fact, I should show up, because when they pray, they're not talking to anybody. Yeah. It's true. Think about it. Everything else are man-made gods. They're man-made. My God was here before I showed up. He's going to be here after I'm gone. He's the God of the Bible. He says, I'm listening. He's listening. When the believer prays, God is listening. So you can generate or create any cult religion you want. When you come together for a prayer meeting, and it is true, there's only one God, and he's the one that can hear, you know. But, oh, no, we should unite. Okay, really, for what purpose? That we get along. When we come together, do we not all have different values? Let's be honest. Can you be honest? Look, ask a husband and a wife if they have different values. Different opinions, different views. For us, the absolute opinion changer and view reviser is this Bible. And I'm supposed to get along with somebody who says, I don't believe in your Bible, and that's a bunch of nuts. That's crazy. How do you do that? You see, here's my point. You don't unify for the sake of the word unity. That's called compromise, and compromising your greatest cherished essentials. There are some things that are never to be compromised. Never should the truth be sacrificed on the altar of unity. It's the truth that unites us. I would hope that the reason why you're here in this service is because the truth of God, God has been speaking to you, God has been leading you, God has been talking to you. And because we love the Word of God, we have just so happens, look at us, we're white, we're black, we're every color in between, different status in life, and we've come together for what reason? Some people have a suit on, some people are getting ready to go to the beach, it looks like. Listen, what's the deal? What's the deal? The deal is the Word of God. Jesus is my sheep, know my voice, they hear my voice, they follow me. That is His Word. And that's what unites us. It's the truth that unites us. The third thing is this, verse 11, is wisdom. God's evidence for salvation is wisdom. Verse 11, he says, lest Satan, can you all circle Satan, underline it, highlight it? I'll tell you why in a second. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant, uninformed of his devices. Devices. This word devices, we could make it applicable today. If you're walking around Afghanistan or Iraq today or some crazy part of the world, there could be something planted underground that can be tripped and a bomb can go off. An improvised explosive device. It's just below the surface. Paul is saying we are not uninformed, we're not dumb about how Satan can plant a bomb just below the surface in the house of God and among the people of God and the family of God in your marriage with your children. Satan doesn't come running in. He doesn't come running in with his long red tail, pitchfork. Hey! He doesn't do that. He dresses up like us. He talks like us. The Bible says he sends his workers among us. The Bible even goes so far to say that he's even inserted some of his ministers in the pulpit ministries of the church. We're at war. Now watch this. We're at war, okay? And you poll many Christians in America today and you ask them, is Satan real? Do you know what they say? Nope. No, he's not real. It's just a description. It's a personification of evil conduct from people. They have a Bible. They go to church. They name the name of Christ. And then they contradict the words of Jesus and say, Satan is not real. The Bible says Satan is a real fallen angel. And he's got minions under his command. We don't know what the number is, but it says 1/3 of the angelic host was deceived by his ability to lie. Would you all agree with me that lying is a powerful thing? Yeah. Here's the scary thing about lying. And I'm sure this has plagued Satan as well. If a person lies so much, this is amazing. Lying is a spiritual event. When a person lies so much after a while, repeats the same thing that's not true, that person literally is given over in that area to, I believe, God's judgment. And you want to know what the truth of that is, the proof of it is? They believe it. Did you know that? It's actually a form of self-delusion based on deception that is actually perpetrated against yourself. And you begin to tell this lie. Oh, you know what? It was this big. Oh, it was this big. It was this big. And at first, it was this big. Oh, I really should tell them it was only like this big. Oh, that fish was so big. Well, actually, it was only like 2 inches long. But anyway, but you tell it enough. And you will literally, listen, are you listening? You will literally wound up later on defending your argument with all belief and you think truth because you've lied to yourself so much about it that God's judgment upon your life is that it is true to you now. And you can even take a lie detector and you'll pass it because you think It's true. And you are, according to Galatians chapter 6, you have been completely self-deceived. And it is a judgment of God. And that is a very, very scary thing. Satan is wanting to deceive you. And the Bible, I believe, clearly is the only thing, like a sharp two-edged sword, that can go in there and begin to cut out the scar tissue of sin. The Bible does that. It's awesome. Satan's real. And to counter Satan in this world, we are to have the knowledge of God. And that comes, listen, that knowledge of God that comes in our hearts produces wisdom. The Bible says in James 4, verse 7, mark it down, everybody. James 4, 7 says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. A lot of people will say, hey, resist the devil. That's not what the verse says. The Bible says, the verse says, submit to God. Big difference. Submit to God. That brings you the power and the suit of armor to wage war against the host of wickedness. So you submit to God, then you'll be able to resist the devil. Listen, Eve could not resist the devil. Think of that.
Well, how do you expect me to resist the devil?
Because listen, the Holy Spirit dwells within every believer, and this word, as you are coded in the Bible, God will give you divine supernatural wisdom. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let your sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil, verse 27 says. What a tremendous verse. How many of you are married? Raise your hands. Okay, you need to write that verse down. How many of you are dating somebody? You're dating or engaged or something like that? Okay, write down that verse. Be angry. That's a holy anger. Be angry at unrighteousness and evil and injustice. Do not sin. Don't let it take control of you, though. Stay on God's terra firma. Do not let your sun go down upon your wrath. What is that? Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. Listen, those of you who I just asked a moment ago, if you are in a relationship, have you noticed? Of course, all the married people already know this. Those of you who are dating, this is free, so listen up. You can get in an argument over the dumbest thing. I told you to get 1%. Okay, it's 2%. I'm only a little bit off. It's white. It's in the can, okay? So what? I need 1%. Oh, but just try the 2%. I don't. If you don't deal with that, and you go to bed, and you wake up the next morning, look, you may have a California king size bed, but it feels like that woman of yours or that man of yours is 1,000 miles away. The Bible says, settle it before you go to bed. Why? Because Satan's minions will come along. You leave a door open. Listen, if you know that there's a robber in your neighborhood, you're going to leave your door open? I mean, I'm only going to leave my door open if I can point my gun out the window, right? You're going to shut the door. You're going to latch it all down. Why? Because if it's open, if something's open, well, it's just this little thing in my life. Yeah, that's what Saul did. It's just this little thing. By the way, it was an Amalekite that rose up and killed him later when he fell on his own sword. It didn't kill him. Can you imagine? What a loser. Poor guy. He can't even kill himself right. Throws himself on his sword. Oh, man, I missed. Ow! Hey, what are you? I'm an Amalekite. Oh, gosh, I should have killed you guys a long time ago when God told me to do it. An Amalekite walks by, kills Saul, and takes off his crown. Jesus said in Revelation 3:11, be careful that nobody takes your crown. Don't leave us alone. Well, it's just a little crack in the door. I mean, it's just this little thing right there. Watch it. Be very careful. Don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. You are either walking with Jesus today or you're not.
Man, that's black and white.
Yeah, I guess hanging on a cross, that's pretty black and white. You want black and white? God loves you. Satan hates you. God wants your life blessed. Satan wants your life cursed. Jesus wants to give you life. Satan wants to suck your life from you. I know we got it all wrong. You know, you see a tragedy in the world. You see a baby born and the baby dies. And people say, God, why? I say, wait, we understand your emotion, but wait a minute. Jesus says, I've come to give life, and that more abundantly. Satan has come to rob and to kill and to destroy. Let's give credit where credit's due. Eternity. The greatest thing that you can do right now to thwart the works of Satan is to make sure that your heart belongs to Jesus. And it may start with you saying today to God, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm asking you to forgive me. Maybe you're a Christian and you've strayed from God and God is convicting you. And you say to him right now, Lord, forgive me. Maybe you're at odds with your Christian brother or sister or somebody else for that matter. Doesn't have to be a Christian. Settle it. And I don't mean settle it, you know, go over there and tell them off. Be wise. Humble submission to God avoids bitter division among men. Do that. Maybe today you are not a Christian, you're just religious. And you have no, listen, please listen, I say this with all love and conviction. You don't know what it's like to have God constantly in your thoughts. You don't know what that's like. You think, oh, you know what? I think I'll go to church tomorrow. I had this thought about God, and maybe I should go. Listen, a Christian doesn't know that. A Christian knows the presence of Christ constantly in your thinking. Constantly. Constantly. Thank God. Constantly. Hallelujah. Constantly. There's no getting away. Shall I take the wings of the morning and run? David said 3,000 years ago, he's there wherever I've tried to go. Jonah tried to run and found out that when he got there, God was there. Then he gets swallowed by a great fish and found out that God's in the belly of the fish. Oh, every moment, God in the thoughts. Have you noticed that when you and I mess up, we mess up when God is not in the thought for that moment? We are truly sinners saved by grace, are we not? We're saved and praise the Lord and God will use us and all this stuff. And then it's with this, you know, and a sin. Boop, sin. How'd that happen? I got my eyes off of the Lord. Peter was walking on the water. Crazy Peter. Big, clumsy, foot in the mouth Peter. Walking on water. And he was able to stay afloat as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. And the moment he took his eyes off and looked at the wave, it says, instead of Jesus, what happened? He sunk. Keep your eyes on Christ. Those of you who have your eyes on Christ, your mind is filled with him constantly because you know salvation. For those of you who don't, settle that right now.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Say You're Sorry. It's a lesson that addresses the serious matters of church discipline and the restoration of the one who repents. Say You're Sorry is really a multi-part series that looks at the first two paragraphs of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at Paul's second New Testament letter to the church at Corinth. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now don't forget, since it is Monday, a reminder that you can catch our weekly television program, Real Life with Jack Hibbs. In fact, you can watch it at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You'll oftentimes see Pastor Jack engage in some informative conversations and interviews, looking at topics like Scripture, of course, evangelism, apologetics, faith and politics, family and marriage, history, and we're talking about the proper view of history, by the way, and a whole lot more, all centered around the Judeo-Christian worldview. There's a new Real Life with Jack Hibbs television program every Monday. And, of course, you can browse the categories for yourself and see archived programs. Just visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And, of course, it's right there you'll find all the links to just about anything that's related to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Visit when you get a chance. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.